When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Proliferation. I welcome Henry Sokolsky, the executive director of the Non-Proliferation Policy Education Center, to comment on a story in the New York Times that includes conversation between Washington and Jerusalem over the Gaza crisis, Washington and Saudi Arabia over matters of treaties and working together. We can presume Jerusalem and Riyadh talking together about the future. However, there is this paragraph, highly suggestive, and I need Henry's guidance. Talks between the United States and Saudi Arabia on their agreement include a defense treaty which would involve cooperation on a civilian nuclear program with uranium enrichment in the kingdom, Saudi Arabia, the sale of advanced American-made weapons, and potentially a trade deal. Henry, a very good evening to you. A civilian nuclear program with uranium enrichment in the kingdom. You've spoken of this in the past, and you've mentioned that it was always a possibility. What does it mean, Henry? Is this proliferation? Good evening to you.
Good evening. It's a pleasure to be on your program, and thank you again for having me. I think this is a raffle ticket on a weapons option, because when you enrich uranium, you bring countries that do this within days, potentially, of being able to take the product, turn it into metal, and insert it into a weapon that you've designed on the side. And this certainly is the major concern we have with the enrichment program that's in Iran, a country that now has leaders saying, well, we could get a bomb at any time. Some are even saying, well, we actually have them already. Point is, we don't know, and it would not be something we could detect or react to in a timely fashion if they did, even if it was under safeguards. So agreeing in any fashion to any kind of enrichment on Saudi soil is a wink at, we want you to be able to make bombs if you need to. And of course, the Saudi crown prince has been very clear in saying that if he thinks Iran has a bomb, he must get a bomb, which is kind of interesting because Saudi Arabia signed the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, which binds it not to get nuclear weapons. So he's already threatening to violate international legal obligation. This is not promising stuff. That we're party to this is also kind of grim. I don't know what we're getting in exchange, but as people during the Reagan period once said, I want some of my money back.
47 years ago, you bring to my attention June 1977, a report to Congress, to several distinguished members of Congress now gone, Charles Percy, John Glenn, Edward Kennedy, Ted Kennedy, Abraham Ribicoff, a report entitled Nuclear Proliferation and Safeguards, June of 1977, from the Office of Technology Assessment in Washington, D.C. And it includes a cover letters in all directions. And one paragraph stands out to me, a letter signed by Emilio Daddario, the director of the at the time. Proliferation has emerged as a major concern in both the Congress and the Executive Department. Several bills have already been introduced in Congress, and the president, Jimmy Carter at the time, has elevated nonproliferation to one of his highest foreign policy objectives. Has that changed, Henry, now, 47 years later, the conditions? The Cold War is gone. We're not facing a communist elite. We have a multipolar world. And so proliferation is no longer primary?
Wrong. It's about to get worse. And I think if there's one front where we're a little bit in a sleepwalking mode, it's here, and we're in denial. I mean, we're shrill about everything else. We're worried about the Russians. We're worried about the Iranians. We're worried about the North Koreans. We're worried about terrorists. You list it, global warming. This front, I think we have gone dormant, and we're about to get jostled by reality. And the reason I say that is there are so many countries now that are questioning our commitment to defend them and wanting to get us to put nuclear weapons on their soil, or talking about getting a nuclear weapons option. This includes everyone from Poland to South Korea, quietly Japan, Indonesia. I wouldn't be surprised if even the Finns will be interested in this. Certainly Turkey, Iran, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, possibly Algeria. All these folks are waiting in the wings. And I think we're kidding ourselves and thinking that what was written a half century ago is irrelevant. Most of the recommendations in that report have not been acted on, and they're pretty solid. I tried to revive interest in them with a major study that got attention in, places like The Economist. 20 years later, I wrote something called Falling Behind. But got a little bit of interest by the agency. The agency took on one or two of the recommendations. That's the International Atomic Energy Agency in Vienna. But pretty much they did not adopt most of the recommendations. And I think the bill is coming due. And we were going to see this with the Saudi deal. I mean, we're making believe that we can defy the laws of physics and have an enrichment plant in a country that is run by someone who wants to get a bomb if he thinks Iran does, and not have a problem? You got to be kidding.
1977, North Korea didn't have a bomb. Pakistan didn't have a bomb. India didn't have a bomb. Ukraine did have a bomb, 1977.
Well, wait a minute. India had a bomb. They tested what they called a peaceful nuclear explosion, an explosive in 1974, and the Pakistanis were hot on their heels.
And in Ukraine, they did have a bomb. That was part of the end of the Soviet Union to give the bomb up. The point I'm looking to make here is that since 77, it has become commonplace to assume if you have a bomb, your regime is secure. If you don't, it's at risk. Is that what Saudi Arabia is now following?
Well, it thinks that it needs to be able to pull this card out of the deck. You might take a look at what recently happened in a country that has nuclear weapons. That's Israel. They got hit with a large number of missiles explicitly fired from Iran. And now their Hezbollah fired recently a missile, and it hit a base, observation military base, 21 miles across the border. So I don't know how the nuclear deterrent thing works, but it doesn't prevent a lot of things that are pretty important.
The regime change is the question mark. And so what you're suggesting is that right now the deck is clearly stacked for everybody to want a nuclear weapon. In Beijing, and we'll talk about it momentarily, both Mr. Putin and Mr. Xi Jinping are talking about nuclear weapons. So who wouldn't want one in a world where there is no certainty that you will be covered by the U.S.?
Well, I think cooler minds would ask the question, what are we getting into, and what does getting these things entail? As I noted, warfare is going more and more precise, more and more data-driven to hit specific nodes to paralyze countries. We're seeing this in the attempt to knock out the electrical grid in Ukraine right now. There was an attempt by the Iranians to hit certain nodes. They'll be back, and they won't be back with nuclear weapons, but with missiles. So if you get a nuclear weapon and you put it on your soil, it becomes a target set, and it draws an awful lot of ire from the countries that have nuclear weapons. I mean, every country, even Great Britain that got nuclear weapons, had rough relations for a while or more with the United States when they did this. that is not going to change. So you're buying into something that has some downsides. And the question is, if there's any way to work things without them, it recommends itself. I don't think it's a slam dunk, oh, we get these. But when you're desperate and your judgment goes and your head's not cool, they look pretty attractive.
Henry Sikorski is the executive director of the Nonproliferation Policy Education Center. We turn to Strategic Forces Talk by the leader of Russian Federation, the leader of the People's Republic of China. And what is the provocation? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Patton.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it. Your neighbors know it. Heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.
My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.